starting then. I can start out with a parable. I can start off a record in Numbers chapter 4. Book of Numbers and chapter 4.
Thank you.
that's asked to be put over. The second purpose of coverage is to protect. To protect. And if it acts, it will with other pieces here in the tabernacle as a protection. You know, we have a chair behind you on the table back home. Sometimes I'll go to write something or draw something. My wife will remind me of the little place that I need. So the table is protected. Put a covering on it. And indeed, the Ark of the Covenant would have that badge, some of you will have purpose, as a protector. But there was a third cover, and as you see them holding it, it is blue. Now, some of the other pieces are going to get blue, but blue will never be the final covering only on the Ark. Watch it happen. I read that the final covering will be blue, put upon the Ark. The other final coverings will be badger skins that I'll talk about in a minute, okay? But the Ark brings to a third purpose to cover. Even in transportation, everything else will be that drab badger skin that's covered. The Ark, that heavenly blue, it'll bear a glory of its own, even in transportation, that heavenly blue. And you know, coverings have to do with glory. Just go to the military. Look at their clothes and cover them. Braids and stripes. Colonel, sergeant, lieutenant, general. It'll give them rank and glory and authority. So coverings hide from you. Coverings protect. And coverings reveal glory. And this was a reveal of the unique glory of the throne of God. It's the only one that would have blue as the final covering. And then we come to these three pieces right here. And they're going to all involve blue too. But let's talk about the golden altar of incense briefly. Over the altar of incense. And looking here at verse 6. Thou shalt put badger's put there on the covering of badger skin that shall spread over the cloth wholly of blue and put the stains thereof. Then we come to the next piece. Now I'm going in order. The Bible goes in a different order, so let me be biblical. Verse 7. And upon the table of showbread shall they spread a cloth of blue. And put there all the dishes and the spoons and the bowls, and cover it with all, and continual bread shall be thereof. So it's going to come to showbread, and blue will not be the last covering. Blue will be the first covering. And it will be covered in blue. Then of this covering of blue, I'm going to read verse 8, they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skin, and shall put in the stain thereof. And so this, once the vessels are placed on the blue, then comes a unique color that will be the middle color, scarlet. You'll see in a minute. And the final covering of badger skin. The only piece of black scarlet. One thing it reminds me of, there's bread on that table. The Lord Jesus is on the bread of life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. It's just a bloodshed and sacrifice, that bread of life and so on. And then, unlike the Ark, the final covering is that wrap covering of badger skin. And then as we read on in Scripture, you will hear the candlestick in verse 9. Verse 9, and they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light and his lamp, his tongs and his snuff dishes, and the oil vessels thereof, where they minister unto it, and they shall fit it, all the vessels thereon, with a covering of badger skin, and shall put it upon a bar. So the candlestick gets two, the blue first, and then the blue disappeared, unlike the Ark, with the protected badger skin. And then the golden altar of incense is exactly the same. It is exactly the same in verse 11 and 12. It is blue first, the golden altar of incense, and then badger skin. And you see that at the end of it. There is one piece that remains uncovered. That is a laver, a washing basin of water, where priests would cleanse themselves at. So some pieces are covered, but there's a piece that is uncovered. As you heard this morning, made out of the windows and looking glasses, it would probably reflect the glory of the heavens and so on. But there it is, some piece, a piece remains uncovered, the laver. But now, we come out here to this altar of burnt offering, bronze altar. Animals died. Animals died. Blood was shed. Atonement of sin. But once the sacrifice was done, sacrifice to begin again. But firstly, when it's done in that spot, it was to be covered with something the others didn't have. Look here, if you would, at verse 13. Numbers 4, verse 13. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the thresholds, the shovels, the basins, the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skin and put to the stains thereof. We're just going to illustrate the badger skin very simply in a minute. It's the one piece that gives that royal color that kings wear of purple. The only reason, what does it matter, God? As long as they're covered, let's just get them protected and covered. What matters to God? And there is the badger skin. Now, there's the badger skin. Now, keep in mind what's happening here. When the sacrifice is to begin in the new spot, they get to the new spot where God moved. Of course, the protecting covering has to come off. But before they can ever put another lamb or goat and shed the blood, before they can ever do that, they have to take the purple off. And the purple would have to come off before the sacrifice would start again. Well, what you just saw physically happened to the Lord Jesus, and also spiritually happened to him. Well, you just saw the place of sacrifice of bloodshed with the purple coming off actually physically happened to the Son of God and spiritually happened to him. The one he backed, but keeping something in Numbers for, let's go to the Gospel now of Mark, chapter 15. Gospel of Mark, crucifixion account of the Lord Jesus. Go to Mark chapter 15, please. And we'll look at verse 16. Mark 15 and verse 16. 15, 16. The soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. They called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and planted a crown of thorns and put it about his head. Began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews. It was all in mockery. They put the king's color on him, and they mocked him. They didn't believe it was a king. They didn't give him a golden crown, a crown of thorns, verse 19. And they smote him on the head with a reed, and they spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Before our Lord Jesus ever died, as you just saw a minute ago, off came that purple. They never received him as a true king, stripped him of that, and there he died a king crucified to save a poor sinner like you and like me. It also happened spiritually. Quoted the other day by somebody. Philippians 2, 6, speaking of the Lord Jesus, the who being in the very form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't look at Godhead as something I got to attain, I got to grasp, or I got to cling to. He was there. If I had my Bible in the hand, the young man gave it to me, and I said, where's my Bible? I need my Bible. He said, you got it. I'm going to grasp that. He didn't have to grasp that very quality with God. He was in the form of God. Philippians 4, 7 says, but made himself of no reputation. Laid aside his glory, his authority. Some will have emptied himself. And actually what happened, in picture language, made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, heavenly speaking. He took off his authority in heaven, where people bowed down and did what he told them, and he became a servant, taking that reputation of glory and authority, and now saying, not my will, but thine be done. Not giving orders, but taking orders from the Father, and taking off the purple. Philippians 2 goes on to say, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Died on that cross. Off came the purple, not only physically, but giving himself another from a king to a servant, saying to the Father, not my will, but mine be done. But, remember when the sacrifice was over? The sacrifice was over? Well, it had to be covered. Now when the sacrifice was over in that spot, and it was done for the period of the instructions of the coverings, we see that it would be covered with purple. So we'll do it one more time. keeping the depth of the cross, you know what verse 9 says? Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The resurrection, God put the purple back on, exalted him as the Lord Jesus Christ. In the language of Hebrews 1:3, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. He's on that highest exalted position in God's kingdom of the right hand. The purple's back on because the sacrifice is finished once and for all. Coverings that take us to the reality of Christ in detail. Took the purple off and died, but he's highly exalted on the right hand. He's the King of kings and coming Lord of lords. The gospel in the purple. Having said that, if you go back to Numbers chapter 4, once those coverings were done in the order God gave, that the priests would do that, then we progress to verse 15 in Numbers chapter 4. Look at verse 15. When Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the canvas was set forward, after that the sons of Korah shall come to bear it. They shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Korah in the tabernacle of the congregation. So the sons of Korah would transport the tabernacle and the covered vessels or furniture and just leave it exactly as they were, transporting covered vessels to whatever God would call point B. That was a service that God gave the sons of Korah, moving the covered vessels in the order that God gave. Why do you say that's wonderful? One day, there was rebellion amongst God's people. One day, some of the sons of Korah thought that job wasn't big enough for them. And a rebellion happened. The congregation of God came to them. So if you can progress, please, to Numbers chapter 16. Look at Numbers chapter 16. Numbers 16, and I'm looking at verse 1. Numbers 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Itzar, the son of Kohath, is a Kohathite, the son of Levi. And Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the sons of Pelath, the sons of Reuben, took men. So you have the sons of Korah, and then another tribe, the sons of Reuben, they get a little coalition together in verse 2. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, of men of renown. They get some very top leaders. And they get together, and look what they do in verse 3. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And they attacked the leadership. Moses, you give the order. Aaron, you were in here. And you know, we're all holy. Why do you think you're the big men to get to do that? We should be doing some of that too. All we're doing is, you know, transporting covered vessels and things like that. They blame the leadership for taking that position, except Hebrews 5:4 says, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that was called of God as was him. It's a call of God, priesthood. Well, in this rebellion, look at verse 4. When Moses heard it, he fell off on his face, and he spake unto Korah, the son of Korah, and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Even him who he hath chosen will he cause to come near to him. You say it should be you, I'm going to show you, God's going to make a choice, and he's going to show who it is. Look what he says in verse 6. This dude, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire there, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord shall choose, he shall be holy. He take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. You think you're a priest? Well, go get your censer, and let's see if God agrees with it. I want you to get your censer and put coals in it, and let's see if God agrees with by three sons of Levi, seemeth it but a small thing of you, that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel, to bring to you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister to them. After that, he says, there, now you get your census. You think you're priests? You go get your census, he says. And you're going to wave before the Lord. You're going to act like a priest and see what God says. But he says, you take too much upon you. They wanted more than God gave. He said, because what you have to do, it seems like a small thing. Transporting covered dust. Ministering to God's people. We're more important than that. We want a bigger calling than that. And what God came to do, it's a small thing. Well, so they would take this. And he accused them in verse 10 of number 16. Seek ye the priesthood also. You're seeking an office God never called you to. It is rebellion, lifting yourself up in pride. Well, they got the censers and other things there. Moses told people, get away from these men. They're wicked men. And look at verse 31, what happened on tomorrow. Number 16 and verse 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, and went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished among their congregation. Great judgment of God, the earth swallowed the men alive in a grave, because of rebellion, not immorality, but religious sin, claiming priesthood has never been called for them. Verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, must the earth swallow us up also. Now look at verse 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. They were bold enough to take Moses' challenge. There they get that censer. And they're offering, yes, we're priests too. We're all holy. And fire comes from heaven and burns them up with the incense in their hands. And God's choice was clear. The priesthood would be for Aaron and his line. He has given others to do, but somehow a whisper reached their ears. It seems like it's a small thing. And there's a bigger thing to do, but you're more important. And Moses said, seek ye the priesthood also, and a disastrous judgment hit them. Behind that rebellion, you can hear the hiss of the serpent himself. The first rebel, that angelic being, Satan. We're not using our imagination here. For the Bible's going to think it's the very first rebellion of the spiritual world of Lucifer himself, and it was on these very exact grounds that he rebelled. He's been inciting humanity ever since. Continuing this, let's progress to Ezekiel chapter 28. The prophet Ezekiel chapter 28. And Ezekiel's to prophesy against the prince or king of Tyrus. That's verse 2. When you get to Ezekiel 28, if you look at verse 2, he's a son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, or I God. I sat in the seat for the throne of God, in the midst of the sea, yet thou art man and not God. Though thou set thine heart in the heart of God. Men with pride, saying, I'm more than just a man, I'm God. And I can't find Christ to do that one day. But as we start to see, the Prince of Tyrus is simply a personification of that spirit being called now Satan or Lucifer. Watch how this develops in verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. Verse 11 of Ezekiel 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect of beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Prince Tyrus never eaten the garden of God, but Satan was at stake, Lucifer. And here we start. start to see that he's simply a personification of Satan, and Satan was created as a created being, perfect in wisdom, full of wisdom and beauty. That's a pretty full cup to handle, isn't it? Because there are some people that they're smart, but they're not that good looking. There's some people that are good looking, but they're not that smart. But you get the combination together, and you can have a lot of pride. That's exactly what Satan had. Look again at verse 13. God has been in Eden, the garden of God. Now watch it. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tamarind, and of thy pipes was prepared in the day that was created. There was a high elevation that Lucifer emitted glory with those glorious stones and that cherub that he was called to be. And he, as we say, coverings will have to do with revealing glory also. But look more now in verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said thee so. He was also involved in covering something. Remember those cherub thing on the mercy seat, which you can't see now? With their wings spread out to cover the mercy seat, where God's glory was. And so he was had a glory of his own, God gave him, and he was anointed by God to cover. And God appointed him, I have said thee so. Well, back to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covered, and I have said thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount of God. Thou wast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the day thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. Self-will, self-desire, I think. Verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mouth of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. Thou covering cherub, on the very ground of covering, Satan looked at his glory and said, I deserve more than that. I will be like the Most High, Isaiah 14:14. I'll be like God. I'm just one of the other enjoying this and covering things at the level he's given me. I'm smart enough. I'm good looking enough. I'm going to rule it all. I will be like God. I am God. His heart was lifted up in Christ. The Lord Jesus taught when he was on earth that he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He did humble himself to be exalted. Luke 18:14. And God says, I will cast him to the ground. So the first sin recorded in our universe, so to speak, involved Satan on the ground of covering, thinking there was something bigger for him. Heart was lifted up. Sons of Korah, carrying the covered vessel. It is a small thing. We deserve more. We deserve the priesthood. So we see rebellion. The very issue of covering. I say all that, I told you a minute, to say this. You get to the reality of the Church of God, or the House of God today. The House of God, which is the Church of the Living God, 1 Timothy 3:15. And you will discover a ministry of coverings in it. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, to acquaint the angels. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You will see that something's to be covered, you see it here in the tabernacle, and something good is to be uncovered. And you see the labor remaining uncovered. And we get to 1 Corinthians, if we could, in chapter 11, now the church and its ministry. And I'll take you to verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. But I would have you know, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, the head of Christ is God. Now speaking about God's order of authority. I know we like to say we meant the head of the man, the head of every man, or excuse me, we like to say the head of the woman is the man. The men, look at the first part. The head of every man is Christ. It's true you're ahead of the woman, but you have a head. You're not headless. Your head is the Lord Jesus, okay? Your head is the Lord Jesus. Therefore, you don't have a blind check of authority. You know, I was in an assembly once somewhere in the southern part of the United States. previously, and I was preaching on some of these things in Northbury. One of the elders came to me and said, "Brother," he said, "it's good what you're saying. Just so you know what's happening here, I just want to tell you. On Wednesday night, the elders decided that women could take a little part, ask questions, pray, ask questions, but assembly meeting to come together. But we men gave them permission to. So I want you to know, brother, they're not usurping the authority of men, because we said they could. All right, brother, you're right. They're not usurping the authority of the men. Let me ask you a question. Your head is Christ. Did your head give you permission to tell them? He said, but the women keep silent, the church, 1 Corinthians 14, is not permitted under them to speak. And did your head tell you to do that? I got to read this to that. I don't know how it came out. Okay. I never thought of it that way. You see, we do die. We do believe. But our authority comes from the Lord. The head of man is Christ. And in the head of the woman is the man. She's under the man to be submissive to him. And sometimes, sisters, you'll think, well, I'm just as equal as a man. Aren't we all holy? And remember, that's all for them. Yeah, you are. You're saint. You're equal in Christ. We learned this morning, the tabernacle. But there is different roles to accomplish in authority. Because if you think it means inequality, how about the last phrase in verse 3? The head of Christ is God. Target Adam, he's less equal than God. It means he has a different role. He submitted himself, as we learned tonight. If Satan exalted himself about sin, misery, and judgment in this world, all the broken as you see, the head of Christ is God. He took on the form of a servant. He took off the purple. He said, not my will, but thine be done. And not humanly wanting to suffer, but because the Father wanted him to, he obeyed, he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And you have salvation and joy and eternal life on the grounds of submission. The power of submission. Those who submit, God exalts. And you have every brokenness you see on rebellion against the headship order. You saw how Satan did it. You saw how the sons of Korah and Korah did it. And so it doesn't mean inequality. It means a different role is all, because the head of Christ is God. Well, he goes on to say in verse 4, explaining this headship in the Christian family. Verse 4, every man praying or prophesying having his head covered dishonoreth his head, and every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even almost as she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be ashamed for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head. So in the church of God, one of the genders is covered by some of the furniture, the man is uncovered from some of the furniture here. And it's God's church showing headship. He won't go on to argue and instruct. It's not based on what many learned men in evangelical Christianity said. Culture is based on creative order, creative choice of God. And it all has to do with the subject of glory, just like these coverings did. This way, Satan, Lucifer, was the anointed chair to cover them. And there's a certain glory with those stones here. I know most of you have seen that, but there's three types of glory here, okay? Let's just look at them quick. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. Glory number one in this chapter, that man is the glory of God. Male. Doesn't mean a woman can't bring glory to God through his way. Okay? Man is a glory. You know, he created Adam first. And so man is uniquely designed in his image for his glory. There's a second glory here. Look at verse 7, the end of it. But the woman is the glory of the man. Man was not good to man to be alone. God made a helpmeet for him. And the woman was designed uniquely to be man's unique glory, to complete him. So man has a glory, that's the woman. God has a glory, that's the man. And then as Paul goes to nature and says, you think it's a weird thing, and I'm paraphrasing, that when I'm talking about covering, he said nature's done the same thing. So look what he goes on to say, and we'll get to a third glory here. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. Judging yourselves, is it commonly that a woman praying to God uncovered? Not to be covered all the time. When she prays or prophesies, a man can cover too, but not when he prays or prophesies. think instruction is different? Nature agrees with me and says, look at it. Look at verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame of him? I know we get a little bit brainwashed in here. But you look at a man with long hair, well, that's a shame. And, you know, shame. Not so with a woman. Look at verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Nature has also veiled the woman in a unique way with long hair, and she has long hair. It's a glory to her that the same to a man. So a woman has a personal glory, her long hair. A man has a glory, and that's a woman. And God has a unique glory, and that's a man. Verse 16 goes on to say, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, or no other practice, neither the churches of God. Now think this glory through here. Come into God's presence, praying, speaking for God's prophets. I believe it goes beyond the church, and I'm going to get that tonight. Of course, headship includes the assembly that goes outside of certain areas. But anyway, come into God's presence, speaking for God. The woman's covered. That is, we'll see her head is covered. Her glory is covered. She covers her head, not her ankles, not her elbows. She covers her head, her glory. Her glory is hidden. Remember? Covering's covered, and eyes from view. Her glory is hidden. But man is, but she's man's glory. And so man's glory is covered. Because it's a woman's that covered. But man stays uncovered. Whose head is man? Christ. And so man being God's way, God is the only glory that remains uncovered as an image of the man. And so the woman's covered, the man's glory, her personal glory is covered, her head, and man's glory is uncovered because that's God's glory. That is something the world doesn't do, but God's bringing this order back. Now go back to the middle part of this chapter here, as he appeals not to culture, but to creation, creative choice. Look at verse 8. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. That's not culture. That's God's creative choice. Now, verse 10. For this cause of the woman who hath power on her head because of the angel. A double cause there. Because she was created for the man. So he's the authority. She's to put it on her head. And also, that word covering the authority. That covering is authority, and she is saying, man is over me. Even though in some situations outside the church, she might be praying in the group and so on. Or even prophesying. Man is over me. And of course, she prays and worships and offers in the church silently and so on. Saying that man is over me, but also because of the angels. What do angels have to do with it? Remember, Lucifer, the anointed cherub. That chief angel, so to speak, he rebelled on this very ground. Thou art the covering cherub, and I have set thee so. And he says, I will be like the Most High. I am a God full of beauty and wisdom. And he rebelled against that ministry of covering, the glory that God gave him, and wanted to elevate himself to God's glory, just like the sons of Korah and Korah and so on. And the angels are looking down. And they've seen the disaster that Satan brought. And they viewed the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who deserves that glory, and he took off the purple and made himself a nobody. And he submitted and became a servant. Because of that, he's brought a company back to God, the church, and highly exalted. And they've seen, look what happens when you exalt yourself, your face, look what happens when you submit. Look at the beauty of submission. Look at all the lessons we learned. And now we see that the church has been restored, and like a microcosm of what's coming in the future. And there's a sister, and she's covered, her glory's hid. Person of glory, man's glory's hid. That's God's glory that's showing. And see, this whole thing of glory and covering, back in perspective, it's a testimony to angels. You know, I'm here ministering to you. Your sisters, when you cover your head, you're ministering to angels. And they're learning. They're learning from you. You know, we men here in the Western culture, the pressure's on the woman because she's not normally covered. We're generally uncovered, so not a big deal. But you go to the Mideast where I've been. And the women are normally covered there, so there's less pressure on the woman. But all your religious men in the Mideast, when they perform religious duties, they cover. The Arab better than that. You're holy like the men. You're equally forgiven. You're one, the same nature we learned this morning. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. That's your standing. That's your position. Galatians 3:28. But in your role of service, don't listen to the hiss of the servant. There's something Korach doesn't do. And it's a small thing, this loving my husband if I'm married, or keeping the home obedient, this in the church of being silent, this being covered at times, I have better gifts than that. There's a bigger thing out there I want. The ministry ain't big. To submit to God's salvation to whosoever believes, God's biggest program. It's not a small thing. And the churches are hearing it today, it's a small thing. The Word of God said, man should pray and prophesy out of comfort. The sister, let her be comforted. The ministry of covering that have to do with glory. Lessons from the tabernacle that take us to the heart of God and the reality of the New Testament church. May the Lord give you good understanding. Do His will. Let's ask God to bless the word. Tomorrow there's the final two messages with me and Brother Irwin, and food for the man. Our Father in heaven, we are in thy presence in the morning. The one who towers his head, not my will, but thy be done. He humbled himself and highly exalted with a purple long mouth, coming as a king of kings and lord of kings. Satan has exalted himself and will be cast down someday in the lake of fire and brimstone. You resist the crowd and give grace to the humble. Father, just encourage my dear church tonight with the word for the humble. And if the sons of Korach listen to the hits, so to speak, we're hearing it again today. It's a small thing, these brothers. This submission. There's something bigger for us. They may not listen to them, but listen to the commandments of the Lord Jesus without getting called. This is His will. This is His way. It has to do with His glory and His work. Just fill and encourage our church tonight, wherever they're hurting. Open some hearts and encourage other hearts. And for thy glory tonight. It's worth it as our glory. We commit it for the name and person of the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Your Bible?